ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Great to have your company here on Summer Sports Talk on 720 ABC Radio Perth, ABC WA, ABC Sport Digital, the ABC Listen app, wherever and however you are listening to us. It is a massive day because our next guest, we throw around the term great, legend, star, inspiration, all these words all the time. But our next guest is a man who is literally the definition of all those things. He inspired generations of cricketers, not just in Australia, but all around the globe. He'll hate the intro we are giving him. He'll be very modest about it. But he is an Australian sporting legend, a world cricket legend. The great Dennis Lilly joins us on the line now with myself and Kim Hughes, his old sparring partner. Dennis, it's great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Mitch. I've left the wallet on the desk. So,
No, mate, you've got to give me all the money because I told him all the... Now, champ, I just want you to know, pal, we've had that many injuries of our quicker bowlers here in Western Australia. Have you got the togs on and ready to rock and roll and bowl in about 150 Ks? You ready to get out there for Western Australia and Australia?
Yeah, look, my wheelchair just won't go that fast. Otherwise, I could. Yeah.
Well, Helen's pushing it down the hill, is she?
not quite at that stage, but
no.
Dennis, obviously, you're a fair way removed from the days of sprinting in and bowling at the English attack. But the Australian cricket summer is here. The Ashes is three weeks away now. It's such an exciting time. It must still excite you this time of year when you smell the cut grass, you see all the talk about selection, and it must just be a great time for you still.
Yeah, it just hurts my ears a lot, that's all. I get a bit of a bashing this time of the year, but I get through it.
Champ, one of the main things I wanted to ask you is that, obviously, from a West Australian point of view, we had four guys who were unavailable before the first game was even started. Then Joel Parris got off to a pretty good start, then got broken down. Mate, what is happening? Have any of those guys come to you to say, hey, this and that? Because I'm sure our listeners would just love to know. You know, something's not working. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, obviously. look, Kim, there's various reasons, obviously, for this scenario we have. But I can't remember in all my years involved in cricket where at the start of a season there have been four quick bowlers injured and not able to play, not just a calf or something like that, but some of them pretty sort of bad. Look, it makes me wonder, is there something maybe not quite right with the system? It's only my thoughts. Remember, I'm not an expert, these thoughts, I've just got, there's something not quite right.
Yeah. Look, champ, I mean, when you started bowling quick for Perth, how old were you roughly then? Were you 16, 17, thereabouts?
16,
roughly?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then when you got into the state senior cricket squad, what age were you then, champ? Roughly.
Probably 17.
17 18, or so.
18,
so,
probably.
So a day, a week for you would have been club practice, Tuesday, Thursday, state practice on a Wednesday. And from my point of view, when I faced you in the net, you would never have bowled for less than an hour, hour and a half minimum. Yeah. Would that be a good description?
And flat out.
And, well, yeah, absolutely. Mate, I can attest to that. I had to pick the ball up out of the fence. It was going that quick.
Kim, yeah, there's that. But, look, then there's the work behind the scenes as well, which I'm now worried this may not happen. But, you know, it would then be a run, a 5 to 6, 7K run against the clock at least three times a week. During the season.
Yep.
And that's not including, this is not pre-season where it'd be 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And some sprint work, 20, 30 metres, do 20, 30 of those flat out.
Yeah.
Three quarters to flat out.
Yeah.
But a percentage of them flat out.
Yeah.
Some core strength work, every second day. And not in the gym, because otherwise Arnie Schwarzenegger would have been the quickest bowler in the world. It's not about the beach look, but it's about addressing the muscles that are used or going to be used when you bowl fast. So, yeah, look, it's a pretty full week, it was then. I didn't notice anyone breaking down that much then. I have to say I suffer from stress fractures, but that was five seasons in a row overseas and in Australia with huge workloads. And my technique wasn't that great. I think that's one of the things I've realised now, more than anything, is a technique is so important and so easy to fix, and it's only minor things generally. The other thing is that this workload stuff that I think it's been in action for 20 odd years, and I've got a lot of physio mates that say I still have people coming in, young lads coming in, and you talk to them about workloads and they look at you as though you're talking Spanish. And they've just, the message is not getting down there. Mm. Now, when they're young, I guess the workloads have to be controlled. When they get into squads, you know, 6, 17, 18, say, let's say, then the workload has to increase. Now, if you're going to increase your workloads, then you have to also increase all those other things I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, Dennis, for you, when you went through those early stages of stress fractures that you mentioned in 1973, was it the first real bad bout and you were bowling a lot? What did you, amongst your action, did you have to kind of, I guess, readjust your approach to your fitness? Was it a different type of fitness? I know you're big on your running, as you mentioned, and just being an athlete before you're even a bowler in that sense and being really, really fit. But what did you change physically when you were trying to overcome those back injuries so you could still bowl these long, fast spells?
It's a good question. In fact, mine were the first stress fractures discovered, so they didn't know what to do, so they put me in a plaster cast for like 6 or 7 weeks and then in a brace and then not able to do anything until they basically sort of were healed. So that was sort of sometime 6 months of that roundabout. Then it's the waiting game and then you build up slowly. But the main thing I did was... I kept my, once I could run again, I really worked hard again at my running, both short and sharp and the endurance. Let's not, you've got to put a lot of weight on the insurance, on the distance stuff, the endurance stuff.
Yep.
And the other thing was technique. But above it all, with Dr. Frank Pike, he got me doing a lot of core strength work for what would be used in my back bowling fast when and if I came back again.
Yeah.
So there was a whole component of things. But the main thing I'll never, ever forget him saying was, your action is all over the place. Your shoulders and hips are separated. You jump in and out. You're putting extreme stress on your, not just your back, but everywhere. And he said, you will have to look at making sure that your action is more coordinated and smoother. Mm. So they were the things that he's a wise man all that stuff stuck with me, and I think it should still be adhered to.
Yeah, you certainly played a lot of cricket post those initial stress fractures. I know you had issues with your back throughout your career, but you still managed to play an incredible amount of cricket at every level. We're speaking to cricketing legend, sporting legend, a hero and idol of almost every Australian sporting fan and many around the world. Dennis Lilly here on Sports Talk, myself, Mitch Turner, and former Australian Test captain Kim Huser. Dennis, you've done a lot of work with bowlers post your career, and you've done work with, you know, bowlers like Mitchell Johnson. You've worked very, very closely back through his career, and I know you've done some work with some of the young West Australian bowlers in the system now. Has Pat Cummins ever reached out to you and kind of asked you for advice on, you know, bowling, on tactics, on technique, on body? Has he ever reached out to you, or have you spoken to Pat Cummins much?
A lot. Pat came to me when he was injured early on. He dropped from the, I think he was off the list for contracts for Cricket Australia, New South Wales as well. He was quite young, I don't know, 20, 21. And I said to him, he got in touch with me, and I said to him, I think Brett Lee told him too, he came, I said, get New South Wales or Cricket Australia to pay for you to come over for a week and we'll sort you out. He said, I've got in touch with them, they won't pay. He said, I'll pay my own way. Yep. So here's a young lad, paid his own way to come over for a week, stayed at a motel, and we worked on him for that week, and he's never forgotten it. It got him back again, and we've seen the results of that. Now, I'm not throwing my chest out and saying it was me, but he worked on all those things I've just talked about, yeah. And I will reiterate them soon again, but he did all that on his own, but he took on board all the stuff that was said, yeah. And went away and worked on it, and came back two or three other times, and then just kept in touch and sent videos and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I mean, the guy's smart, took it all on board, went away and worked on it, and became the great bowler he is now.
Have you spoken to him at all recently, his most recent run of injuries?
Yep, we're catching up for a coffee during the test. So, he keeps in touch. He's a great man.
And I mean, regardless of his injury, how you've seen a lot of bowlers, Dennis, and you are one of the all-time great fast bowlers around the world. How good is Pat Cummins from what you've seen from him? Because we've all marvelled at his work alongside the other fast bowlers he's bowled with for Australia, and Josh Hazlewood and Mitch Stark, most notably. But how good is Pat Cummins in your eyes? He seems incredibly skillful.
He'll go down as one of the greatest ever, no doubt about that. And the thing that I like about Pat is that if you need a wicket, and when you're captain, you can do it, I suppose. But when you need a wicket, who do you call on? And it's Pat.
Yeah.
Even though he has to call on himself, but that's a sign of a great bowler, one that can come on when you're struggling and you need a breakthrough, or there's a good partnership and you need a breakthrough, and a guy that can come in and almost certainly most times fix it.
Yeah. Champ, I ran into a fellow called Dennis Baker. We both know him well. Played at state cricket. Yeah, great bloke. And he's been doing some work, I think, in one of the private schools, Christchurch, or one of those bakes. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, well, he sent me some information, which I found absolutely incredible, Den. They had some recommendations for the workloads. And I'll just read to you, this is for the under 17. So they're 16-year-olds, that's not as if they're 10 or 12, 13, 14, that sort of thing. And it said, avoid greater than one day in a row for bowling. Then avoid 3 days in a week and avoid 5 overs in a spell. I mean, mate, if you had to do that, you wouldn't have played. I mean, I just find it, absolutely staggering. That at a boy that's 16 or 17, I'm not saying you go out there and bowl 30, 40, 50 overs, but to avoid, greater than one day in a row, I mean, I just find it just amazing.
Well, we should have all broken down every second week if that's the case. We didn't. So,
no.
Look, I don't know. Somewhere there's the answer. That's certainly not working, I don't think, anyway.
Correct.
You can be playing under 17s for Australia at 16 or 15, and you have to bowl. Otherwise, you shouldn't be there.
You're not going to get a game.
I mean, the interesting thing, and I'm not. I'm just going to put this down for the record, but I'm not the expert. I don't know it at all. I'm sure of that. There's people out there that know more than me. But there are a few things I just, if you like, I can just go back on and tell you. Key components, I think, for bowling fast. And I'm talking fast, not medium pace swing, but fast.
Yep.
So your components in no particular order, but the number one is technique. You must get your technique right. If there's a fault in your technique, you're going to have injuries. You may have injuries even if you have got a reasonably good technique, but you're going to definitely get injuries. So that technique is so important. Technique also for efficiency. If your technique is wrong and you're not able to put into play all these things that you want to do, swing the ball, cut the ball, whatever. Endurance.
Yep.
So you've got to do endurance work. We talked about that earlier. Core strength, which we've talked about. Strength for purpose. So not the Arnie Schwarzenegger or the beach look. Sprint work, short distance sprint work. You've got to bowl flat out of practice. for most of the time because you're using the muscles you're going to be using
in the game.
Yeah. It's essential to me. You must. Genetics come into it. You know, I mean, if you haven't got the genes for it, you're never going to be a quick bowler and you're going to get injured. So genetics come into it. Good coordination above it all. The best that I ever bowled and I ever saw guys bowl was when their action was beautifully coordinated and it looked easy. Yeah. It wasn't easy, but it looked easy. So that's coordination as well. So a lot of little points there. Yeah. Easy, quite simple, really. But they're the ones that I think people should note down and take a look at. Having said that, I got an interesting story. A bloke wrote to me 100 years ago from England, and he said, dear Mr. Lilly, which was nice, he said, I thought he was talking to my dad, but anyway, he said, dear Mr. Lilly, he said, I want to be a fast bowler. He said, I'm prepared to work hard, and I've heard that your work ethic was through the roof, so could you set me out, some sort of regime? And I said, do it. So I did all that stuff I'm talking about. I did it all. But I particularly emphasised endurance and sprint work. Anyway, I didn't hear from the bloke for some time, which I thought was a bit strange. And I gave him all this info and took my time out. Anyway, 18 months later, he wrote back. And he said, Mr. Lee, I want to thank you. And I thought, here it comes, selected in the England side. Thank you very much, he said, for all of you. He said, I did it to perfection to what you said. He said, I can't bowl for rubbish. He said, but I'm the squash champion of Nottingham. So I'll leave you with that saying. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Jim, I've got one, and then Mitch has got one.
Yeah,
I read in the paper.
I was just going to say that you know Pat Cummins in his first class career has bowled. Looking at his first class record, he's bowled 16,789 deliveries. Dennis Lilly finished at first class level bowling 44,806 deliveries, and that's just in game. That's on match day.
Yeah.
That's not in the nets as well. It must be 400,000 or 500,000.
Just for our listeners, and then I'm going to ask you this other question about Ian Botham, champ, is that there was a thing by someone did a synopsis on how many days of cricket they were playing, and you played in a summer, champ. You were playing 70. Because you played every test match, every one-day international, every game for Western Australia, 70 first-class fixtures.
Cricket.
Yeah, and club cricket as well. And people like even Glenn McGrath and Shane Warne, they didn't go back even further. They were only playing about 40. I mean, you were nearly playing double. And if someone had ever come to you and said, oh, Dennis, no, we want you to have a rest for you not playing for Perth or Melbourne or whomever, you would have smacked them in the kisser and said, mate, get out of here, I'm playing. But I want to leave you with this one, champ. I read in the paper the other day about our mate Beefy, Ian Botham, champion bloke. And amongst a few other things, he was talking about the English attack and that. But his great quote was, bowlers don't get fit in the gyms. That's been proven. Look at the record with injuries for Mark Wood, Jofra Archer, Ben Stokes. Mate, spot on. Would you agree with that? You just don't get fit in the gym.
I'll go back to the Arnie Schwarzenegger quote earlier. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, and the other thing, sorry, just quietly, why I was able to bowl all those overs was because I was doing all that other work that I talked about earlier, and a lot weren't. So you got to look at all of that stuff as well to be able to sort of obviously bowl a lot and not get too injured. You get the odd injury, you must do with an unnatural action like fast bowling.
Yeah,
well, you can't bowl all day if you can't run all day. It's a massive part of bowling. Yep. It's about 90% of it is your approach, isn't it? So
you get tired, your head doesn't want to be there, your action falls apart. You've just got to be at the best at the end of the day as you are at the start of the day.
Dennis, I know you'd still be a massive fan of cricket, and as I mentioned, you've been involved heavily with WA cricket for most of your career post-retirement, and you'd still have a keen eye on the game. You're excited about the upcoming Ashes series. It seems like one of the most hyped ones in years, and England are really backing themselves under Brendan McCullum to come to Australia and win, and Pat Cummins is out for at least one test so far. Are you looking like, in your eyes, is it going to be a close and tough series?
It's an exciting one. I think you know, our bowling is superb. I think England's bowling is untested generally on our wickets. You know, it's a bit easier to bowl on the softer turf in England than it is to bowl on hard Wacker and Sydney and Melbourne wickets.
Yep.
I think out there batting it can be a bit hit and miss, but if they go, they go. I think we've got problems at the top order of our batting. That's probably, you know, I think that's obvious, but I see it. We've got to be very careful. We could be 3 for 15 and all out for 170 if we don't watch ourselves.
Yeah, well, I've got the pads on, champ. I'm ready to come in next. Okay, pal.
he's playing lawn bowls these days, Dennis. He's a long way away. He's a lawn bowler.
I have a trouble bowling underarm because I was there that day, champ. And so were you. Yeah, anyway, that's another story. Mate, you know, if I was a young, quick West Australian cricket, what I'd be doing, I'd be just, you know, getting on the phone, coming around, knocking on your door and saying, Dennis, could I buy you a cup of coffee? Because I tell you what you've just said to our listeners and that is just fantastic. You're a very, very generous man and they should get off their ass and do something for themselves.
Well, you've done work with Marley Beardman, haven't you, Dennis? He's a real talented young bowler.
I'm going, and I'll be seeing him sometime next week. He's going away, I think, for a week or something. And then when he comes back, we'll be having another look at his, see everything's okay, his action, and make sure he's doing all the work that he should be doing. So, since the age of about 14, I never take on lads at 14, but he's a mate of a mate of mine, and he just insisted, and so we went. Gently with things until he got to about 16 or 17. He was playing A grade, I think, at 15. So, you know, he had to learn pretty quick. And he has, and he's worked hard at it. He's only a young lad still. People, unfortunately, their expectations can be a bit high because he's been in the system for a while. But I'll back him in. I think he's going to be a very fine bowler if he keeps doing all the things he should be doing.
Yeah, he's done. He's done incredibly well already, and he's played for Australia at the underage level, and he's part of the squad at the moment in the white ball just to get a bit of experience around some of those senior cricketers. Dennis, I want to leave you on this because Kim tells us about his heroics all the time, and we revisit Boxing Day every single week, and he tells one story, Terry Alderman, Tez tells another story, so I want to hear from you. What's your recollections of Kim Hughes?
The truth of Kim, great bloke, still mates. The only reason I'm on the show, as you know, I don't do any interviews, the only reason I'm on the show is for Kim. Great mate. That innings, do I have to tell the truth about it?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably the greatest innings I've ever seen in the situation.
I've got cash and I'm coming over.
The situation of the wicket and the bowlers that were bowling at the time. You know, I remember seeing one ball just take off a length and hit Greg Chappell in the nose. And I was batting at 11 and I started to... Start to worry. So, you know, he just took them on and played one of the greatest innings I've seen in those conditions.
Oh, Terry says he made it look harder than what it was. So he's not as he's not as complimentary, Clagg, as you are. Dennis Lilly, we really appreciate your time. We know you don't do a lot of this stuff, but it's great to have you on with your great mate Kim Hughes. It's good that you're still mates all this time, even though you could have got him a couple of times in the nets, and I'm sure you got the better of him on many occasions. You're still putting up with him after all these years. We're all putting up with him. We love him, and we love having you on. It's an absolute honour.
Just quickly, it was great bowling to him in the nets, but it was very, I found it difficult bowling to him in the nets because it's very hard to hit a moving target. Sorry, Craig.
No, when he said sorry, it was sorry, Mr. Head, you curly-headed person. Fantastic, champ. Great to have you on.
Enjoy the summer of cricket, Dennis. And well, hopefully you can catch up with Kim shortly and have another coffee with him.
Yeah, beautiful.
We do regularly. Look, keep up the good work, you blokes. You know, I don't listen to too many shows, but I do enjoy it. So keep up the good work.
Good idea. Dennis Lee there, Australian cricketing and world cricketing legend here on Sports Talk.